This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. The news site Motor City Muckraker took it upon itself to track every fire in the city of Detroit for a year. When you take on a project like that, you really start to see and hear about a lot of the problems faced by one of the most overworked fire departments in the nation. Steve Neveling runs Motor City Muckraker, and he joins us now. So, Steve, let's start with your project. Why spend a year tracking down Detroit fires?
Well, I looked at the situation in the fire department, and it was a bureaucracy that was literally in shambles. The hydrants weren't working. The firefighters didn't have certified air bottles. The trucks were breaking down. And the city was literally burning down, and we had neighborhoods where houses were going up every night. And it seemed like a story that wasn't being told, and people weren't understanding the depth of the problem. So I thought it was important to take a look at this from a wholesome approach, and that meant looking at it from how long it took firefighters to respond to fires, when they got there, did they have the proper equipment, were they able to hook into a working hydrant, did the houses that were vacant and burning, did they spread to occupied houses? So I wanted to really look at the fire department in a way that nobody had before. And that sort of takes us to where we are now. And I think there's been about maybe 3,600 fires since then.
How's that compare to a typical year for this length of time?
It's actually right about average. The only thing that we're seeing is that there are more fires that are extending to other houses because the firefighters don't have the proper equipment to put out the fire. So there are more houses that are catching fire as a result of bad equipment, but about the same number of fires have been breaking out.
There have been a lot of stories in the news media about things like a fire engine that didn't fit in its firehouse, about broken equipment, about stolen equipment. You found all that was true, but it's been a whole lot more troubling than that as you've investigated this. What do you learn when you concentrate on a topic like this that other media haven't revealed?
Well, I think you see just how deep the problem is. We thought that, you know, we would find out that firefighters had, you know, some outdated equipment because the city just got out of bankruptcy and had a lot of problems. But we found out there's a lot of internal problems. There was no accountability. There were firefighters who were constantly being harassed and threatened. And I became inundated with calls from firefighters who were concerned about their safety. You know, I started out the year knowing a handful of firefighters, and you know, now I know about 50 of them as a result of people coming out and saying something needs to be done, somebody's going to die, this is such a serious situation. So it really turned into what I thought would be a look at a department that didn't have the proper equipment to, you know, an issue that looked at the lack of accountability, poor management, you know, and then looking at what was going on to neighborhoods. I mean, entire neighborhoods are being wiped clean by fires.
You and I have both talked to firefighters who've told us that they'll be disciplined or even fired if they talk to the media, and some of them talk to us anyway. I mean, a lot more of them have talked to you because they're that upset, as you mentioned. And each time, I've been told that a ban on talking from the media comes from Mayor Mike Duggan's office. So why would the city threaten its firefighters when the news media, for the most part, have been nothing but empathetic to the firefighters' struggles?
Well, I don't think that the mayor's administration wanted this news out. I think he wanted this pretty narrative of a city that was emerging from bankruptcy and was going to see, you know, these golden days again. But
yeah, the comeback narrative that we hear about a lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And this didn't fit that comeback narrative. So there was a big effort by the Duggan administration and then the fire administration to ensure that firefighters weren't speaking to me. And it started with letters popping up. Firefighters would start getting letters, and then they started getting threatened for speaking to me on social media. And in fact, there was one firefighter who they were trying to fire until I got involved. And the sole reason was talking to me. And, you know, these guys are working hard every single day, and they just saw this as an opportunity to clean up the department. I mean, these guys weren't just dealing with, you know, everyday struggles of a poor city fire department. These guys were dealing every day with violations of state and federal safety laws. Their firehouses were filled with asbestos. Their air bottles actually were outdated. They weren't breathing clean air from those air bottles because the system that puts the air in the bottles was dirty and wasn't being certified properly. So there's just a myriad of problems that the mayor just didn't want getting out because he didn't want people to see what a disaster the fire department is.
You really hit the administration of Mayor Mike Duggan hard on these topics, especially about the number of broken hydrants across the city, which directly led to more structures burning as firefighters searched for an operating hydrant, as you mentioned. You finally were allowed to meet with the administration. How did that go?
It actually went really well. I met with them at a coffee shop, and they wanted to know, you know, what my observations were. And I told them, I said, if you really want to improve the fire department, you're going to need a new administration, because these guys are stonewalling any chance to bring reforms to the department. And they finally listened. And about a month ago, fired the fire commissioner and replaced him with Eric Jones, who's a former Detroit assistant police chief.
Right. And so Edsel Jenkins is out. Why Jones, and what has he done since?
Well, Jones was definitely an outside-the-box pick, because he's an assistant police chief, and the Detroit Fire Department has almost always been led by somebody inside. But the mayor said, we need somebody outside of the department who hasn't been part of this culture to go in there and shake it up. And Eric Jones was running the building department for the mayor, and he did a fantastic job cleaning it up, demanding accountability. So the mayor looked at him and said, well, here's a former assistant police chief. He, you know, was able to fix up the building department, so let's make him the commissioner of the fire department. And his son also is a first-year firefighter. And he took it on like a calling. You know, once he got this position, he didn't sit on his throne. He's been there for about a month. And immediately, you know, the first thing he does when he gets on the job is he demands all the top brass to reapply for their job and say, if you want your job, you're going to have to apply for the job just like everybody else is going to apply for it. So he opened it up to other firefighters and their officers. And he went in there, and he just really looked at what I was looking at and was astounded. He couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I guess we should mention that in Detroit, most of the higher offices are gotten there by seniority, not by any testing or anything like that.
Yeah, and that was true for the fire department up until 2 years ago, when the emergency management situation, the bankruptcy, allowed the city to go in and tinker with the union contract so that they could then hire based on merit rather than seniority. And that's really helped as they're trying to build a new fire department, because now Eric Jones can hire the best and brightest people. I mean, these are really important positions. I mean, one of the positions, and one of the first people he got rid of, was somebody who was ahead of the apparatus, and that person was in charge of making sure that firefighters had proper equipment, had trucks that were working. So he fired Craig Doherty. He was a deputy commissioner, and that was one of his jobs. So he said, we want somebody who knows what's going on with apparatus, knows when the aerial ladders need to be certified, when the air bottles need to be certified. And so he's in the middle of doing that right now. The resumes are just now getting on his desk, and he's going to be sorting through those and picking an entirely new administration based on merit.
Let's talk about where the Detroit Fire Department has seen some improvements. I mean, I'm told there have been some repairs to some of the firehouses. There were 10 new fire engines purchased. More firefighters have been hired. They now have a smartphone app where they can report broken hydrants. How much of those things help?
Help quite a bit, but it's going to take some time. I mean, you know, 10 new fire engines are good, but they're also only about a fifth of the actual fleet. So there's still a long way to go. When I was writing about the hydrants, part of the problem was that firefighters would be required to write down in a book where the hydrants are broken, and then that information would need to get to the city, and then the city would deliver that information to the water department, which is in charge of the hydrants. By the time that information got there, the information was lost. We had to sue the city, and we did it successfully to get hydrant records, but we found out that the city had lost all records prior to November. So thousands of hydrant records are missing, and they say it's because of this archaic system of having people write on a piece of paper where hydrants are broken and then sending that to the city hall, and then city hall sending it to the water department. There was just no quick way to get that information to the water department. Now they have a cell phone app where they can take a picture of the hydrant, show where it is, and then the water department has hired 6 new crews to go out and fix these hydrants. And that's made some difference, but you're still looking at a city that has, you know, a lot of fire hydrants and possibly 2,500 broken hydrants. So it's definitely going to take some time to see that change.
Steve Neveling is with Motor City Muckraker. He's spending a year doing a deep dive into the issues facing Detroit's fire department. Steve, thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.